A Swiss hacktivist found a website's exposed code, and now the most powerful people on Earth are scrambling to explain why their names are in a secret society's leaked database. As a spokesperson for one actor said, he'd like to know what the fuck he got himself into. Who are all these wealthy elites, and why does it matter if they're rubbing elbows behind closed doors? This week's episode is Dialogue, Peter Thiel's Secret Society.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
The most cringe, embarrassing, small dick society to have ever existed.
Someone, guys, we found out the Illuminati was real and they're all fucking losers and dorks that they have to like date each other. You're like, oh, I'm in the Illuminati with Cory Booker. Ugh. And Ted Cruz. Like, no.
Double gross. Although, sucks. After seeing Cruz in that thong, that's all the projections across DC that are, should be in the Hall of Fame of best political satire pranks of just eating Trump and everyone alive with all of these projections in DC. If you haven't seen them, of my favorite is Stephen Miller is the back.
He's like a coming vampire.
Out of the Lincoln Memorial.
It's so good. He just like, see, like upside down comes out of it. It's so good. Yeah. I think anybody who's really good with projections, now is your time. Cause I think that's a really great protest technique, because mm-hmm. it's not damaging anything. You're not going to get in trouble. You know, they can't, and it's hard for them to take it down. They've got to figure out where the light's coming from, and fuck it, just move it somewhere else if they make you move. So that's so Stephen Miller bat will live on forever. But oh man, yeah, I can't think of anything but Ted Cruz and that little thong.
Oh man, yeah.
But maybe he'll wear it. He'll come aboard Crime Wave at Sea with us and wear his little thong.
No, he's not allowed. I will
Two podcasters were arrested for throwing a sitting senator overboard when finding out he had signed up for their True Crime Podcast Festival at Sea. What? Not us.
It or wasn't was it? Me. There's a lot of other true crime podcasters, and none of us saw it, so nobody knows. Nobody knows, so nobody gets arrested.
Of all, however many of us there was 500 last time. There might be 1,000 of us this time. Yeah. For all 1,000 people, there were zero witnesses.
Zero.
You know what? All the cameras just got spray painted in that area.
Wasn't that so crazy that it happened in the one area of the ship where there weren't cameras?
Well, if you want to be part of our heist, come to Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through 12th. It might be sold out, so we'll let you know. But so far, go check and get the last handful of cabins. Use our code SINISTER to get you a deal, $100 off and a meet and greet with us. And see all the people. Maybe take out a sitting lawmaker. Who knows?
Dude, how far up? Never mind.
Dot, dot, dot.
I'm going to get a knock at my door.
Yeah, they kid no more. And especially about today's topic, and we're getting into the surveillance state between.
Oh, yeah.
Next episode is not part two of this. It's a spiritual successor, but sort of in the same realm of like just how, because we were discovered something researching this that we're like, what? So y'all got to know about that because we know about it now. But I feel like now that we put his name in our mouths, yuck. That we're on the radar. We're on the Peter Thiel radar. The reptile, more like it.
The more I look at him, he's a reptile. I was staring at a picture of him today too long. And now I have to decompress afterwards because it was a side by side of him and Elon. And they both have very lizard-like features.
It's their crepey skin that feels like it was detached and then reapplied mm-hmm. to a new skeleton. And mm-hmm. that's why they both look so fucked up. But that's been kind of and that ties into the today's subject, kind of an Illuminati part of this, which we probably should do an episode on like the real Illuminati, like way back when the society in the 1700s, but sort of this like faux, almost like the Epstein Files QAnon, where there was this like faux, made up villain that was called this like Illuminati, and what did it really look like? And it was probably part disinformation, misinformation, like a psyop from our own intelligence agencies to kind of encourage people, much like with UAPs, of like some people that saw UAPs saw something, perhaps it was government tech. Well, then you go like, well, they're crazy because they made this up. So again, I think there's probably shreds in those original, you know, Illuminati, like there's all these secret people meeting and you go, that's kind of crazy. And you go, well, we found a list. So is it crazy? You're like, oh, fuck. These are all the people in charge of everything. You go, yeah. They meet and they talk.
It's unfortunately not just a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
A list has been leaked and it's more bizarre than we could have imagined.
There's some names on here that I'm like, huh? But then you look into their lives and you're like, oh. Mm-hmm.
And then we're learning a lot about people's lives that had never even crossed my mind before until all of this. And now it makes me think, do any of us really know anybody? Especially when it becomes like in the tech world or in the celebrity world. I mean, everything is just what they want us to see.
Yeah. I mean, and it's truly when you think about the idea that the tech leaders are working with the government leaders, are working with writers of the New York Times, you know, in a vacuum, me saying that, I sound like I'm, you know, Uncle Heather's been smoking and putting on her flannel. But then you read the article and you go, oh, that's exactly what they've been doing. Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's wild. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Peter Andreas Thiel was born on October 11, 1967, in Frankfurt am Main, West Germany. His father's work in mining kept the family in near constant motion. By 1971, they had moved to South Africa, then Southwest Africa, before finally settling in Foster City, California in 1977. The years in Southern Africa left a particular mark. It was the height of apartheid, and in Swakopmund, a small German colonial outpost on the Namibian coast, Peter attended a strict school that required uniforms and punished mistakes by wrapping students' hands with a ruler. The experience instilled a dislike of uniformity that would harden into a lifelong philosophy of radical individualism.
That'll do it to you. Growing up in apartheid South Africa, I think that'll teach you certain ways about the world with a minor as a dad, an adult minor.
Yeah, depending on which side you're on, it's going to teach you a lot and make an impression that will last a lifetime and probably affect how you view everything.
Yeah, I mean, and I would think at this time that it is a separate school. You know, I don't think it's integrated or anything like that, but I do think it's maybe if it's not a specific Nazi school, it is where I believe there was reports that in that area, the Swakopmund, that a journalist saw a routine greeting from a the guy that worked at the gas station would greet the German folks with a Nazi salute. I'm just gonna say it plainly.
You got sometimes you can't say it any other way but plainly.
I was trying to say it politely, but I'm fairly sure
there's nothing polite about Nazi salutes. You don't have to be polite about that ever.
No, and if I believe I read it correctly, that school that he went to celebrated Hitler's birthday, and they celebrated 420, not in the way you or I might celebrate it, but for Hitler, and I believe they said, Heil Hitler. Like, yeah. Did he say it all? I don't know if it was technically a Nazi school, but it sounded like it was a place where that stuff is cool.
Yeah, it's a very picturesque, really does look like a German town. I was watching videos of tourists go there and they're like, am I in Germany all of a sudden? And you would think you were it's almost like Epcot Center. Like all of a sudden you're in Germany. And then all the architecture is like, you know, Germanic and all the food and just German music. So it's, if you didn't know what was going on outside around you, you'd be like, oh, what a quaint little town in Germany we're staying in.
Yeah, and it's quaint. Then you're like, oh, and it's like very authoritarian. Mm-hmm. And we do Hitler salutes and we're under a government built on racial hierarchy. But probably it's nothing bad.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know. I think it is, though.
Stein of beer.
Yeah, and he said, if I'm not mistaken, that this school was very, it was important and formative for him.
Oh, yes, very. Thiel studied philosophy at Stanford, then went on to Stanford Law School, receiving his JD in 1992. He worked briefly as a securities lawyer, a period he described as feeling like
Alcatraz.
Then as a derivatives trader and a speechwriter for the U.S. Secretary of Education. By 1996, he had returned to California to launch his first hedge fund.
He's agreeing with me. Securities law is like Alcatraz.
Right. We don't agree with him. He agrees with us.
He's agreeing with me.
In 1998, Thiel co-founded Confinity with Mark Levkin and Luke Nosek, which developed into PayPal after merging with Elon Musk's X.com. PayPal was acquired by eBay for $1.5 billion in 2002. What followed became Silicon Valley legend. The founders and early employees who cashed out and went on to build the next generation of technology companies became known as the PayPal Mafia, a term popularized by a 2007 Fortune magazine feature, with Thiel at its center, widely known as its dawn.
My conspiracy theory is they planted this name with Forbes and they're like, why don't you call us like the PayPal Mafia? Mm-hmm. And the writer was like, oh, okay. I guess they call themselves that. No, you call
us
that.
You call us this. And I'm the Don, right, guys? I'm like Don Corleone, right? Right?
Like, oh, I'm Michael. And they're like, I'm the horse head. You're like, okay.
All of you losers, sit down and let me write this article. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Tech is like so beyond my purview, like understanding that whole world. But what I do know about it is most people suck and everybody makes a lot of money if you're good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the hours are awful and they don't care what it does to your body, mind, or soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that too.
Which, same as securities law. So he traded one prison for another.
Mm-hmm. In August 2004, Thiel became Facebook's first outside investor, acquiring a 10.2% stake for $500,000, a bet that eventually returned more than $1 billion. The year before, he had co-founded Palantir Technologies alongside Nathan Gettings, Joe Lonsdale, Stephen Cohen, and Alex Karp.
Wait, Alex Karp, that guy who's fucking buckshit crazy, and every time you see an interview with him, he's like, maybe the drones can put piss on the people in the crowds. And you're like, what are you in charge of? Why are you in charge of anything ever?
Well, he's helped co-found Palantir. So yeah. Yes, it is that Alex Karp.
It's that guy.
It's that guy.
Every time, just look up Alex Karp interviews. And there's a person that was like posting a fucking crazy interview with a CEO from the tech industry every day until I run out. And they've been doing it like years at this point.
Their last mission on Earth will be post, and then they take their final breath because they'll never run out of those.
Yeah, 110 years later, that's my grandfather started this account.
A devoted reader of Tolkien since childhood, Thiel named Palantir after the Palantiri of Middle Earth, the dark, spherical seeing stones through which their holders could observe events across vast distances in real time. In Tolkien's telling, the Dark Lord Sauron used his Palantiri to spy on, demoralize, and corrupt his enemies. The company's offices are named accordingly: the Shire, Rivendell, and Grey Havens. Critics have noted the irony that in Tolkien's own telling, the Palantiri were ultimately instruments of domination, tools that led even the wise to ruin.
No, the thing about all these rich people is they're good at whatever one technology they made, and then everything else is lost on them, including irony, where they're like, I'll pick the evil thing and I'm going to name my, or they're just like, I'm doing it in public.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's intentional. Mm-hmm. But, and it's so, I mean, I know we have a lot of listeners that love Lord of the Rings. No shade to Lord of the Rings. What a dorky thing to do, though. Like, knowing, you know what I mean? It's just, he can't even come up with like his own name. And so he chooses a movie that is regaled among nerds as being like the movie of movies. And then he picks like the evil part of that to name his company.
That's what you're like. How much time did you spend with the movie, books, whatever, like with this material that you're in? If this is the case where you are the one that owns the Palantiri, that makes you Sauron. And that guy's real bad. Mm-hmm. Book, movie, whatever. He's real bad. But I think you're right, though. And maybe dorky, or also just like they're in charge and they're like, this is what I want. And they don't see the irony in being like, well, we've developed the latest baby shredding technology from the Shire. And you're like, ah. Let's take this fucking seriously, because you're creating weapons and systems of surveillance that are extremely dangerous and, in fact, have completely changed our entire landscape. And it is a little bit of a slap in the face as a victim of that to be like, it happened at Rivendell. And you're like, Not the one from the movie. No, not the book. Not that one.
Almost a way too of not necessarily dumbing it down, but making it more palatable. Like
lesson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're like, we're not all evil. This is just a mythical world that we're living in. And mm-hmm. We named all of our offices after these mythical places. So it still seems kind of fun and magical when we come to work and destroy everyone's lives.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we're just cataloging immigrants. What? It's so magical. Come to see us down in the Grey Havens.
We live in a hobbit hut.
No. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 per month, a lot of people wonder, well, what's the catch? Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, there isn't one. There are no gimmicks and no gotchas, just unlimited talks, text, and data, fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team. I guess that makes Mint Mobile a catch.
A total catch. When we got the show phone on Mint Mobile, we noticed how easy it was to switch. When we were touring, we didn't ever go without coverage. We made sure we got our calls, our texts, everything we needed. And if we needed to look something up, boom, the data was right there. No waiting. Mint Mobile took everything wrong with wireless and made it right. With premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month, you can bring your current phone and your number and choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans so you can say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's it. There's no catch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Teal describes himself as a Christian, though his Christianity is unorthodox, filtered through the Mimetic theory of philosopher René Girard and the darker tradition of German jurist and Nazi Carl Schmitt. Scholars describe Teal as,
above all, a political theologian operating at the heart of Silicon Valley.
Central to that theology is the katakon, a Greek term from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, referring to the force that holds back the spirit of the Antichrist and delays the end of history. For Teal, the concept operates politically. The katakon is any force, a nation state, decentralized power, competing authority, that prevents the emergence of a totalizing global order. Teal has acknowledged the inherent dangers of this, saying,
there's always a risk that the katakon becomes the Antichrist. let's talk a bit about these folks that he's following. René Girard, mimetic theory is like you believe that everybody wants what everybody else wants. People don't want what they want. They want what everybody else wants. So he said that that's really why he invested in Facebook. He was like, this is mimetic desire made manifest into a machine. Like it's people can look at things to desire them and copy them. And that's what they'll do. And look, we have memes, right? He's not wrong about that. Folks say that because he studied under that guy at Stanford, but that he sort of bastardized that guy's beliefs and kind of said, like, you know, you turned it up, you know, you took it and you manipulated it on your own. And yeah, the other guy is a Nazi. So
there's that. This framework found its most concentrated expression in autumn of 2025, when Teal delivered a sold-out 4-part lecture series titled The Antichrist at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. The lectures were intended to be off the record, but recordings were subsequently obtained by The Washington Post and Reason, among others. In them, Teal argued that the Antichrist would rise not through overt evil, but by weaponizing fear, promising peace and safety while constructing the architecture of total control. He described America as simultaneously
the natural candidate for a catacomb and Antichrist, ground zero of the one world state, ground zero of the resistance to the one world state.
Vatican theologian Antonio Spadaro assessed the lectures as
political theology at the service of a power project. Yeah, they didn't like the way his shit stunk in Rome. They were like, get that out of here, you fool. But he's very obsessed with the Antichrist. And then I'm like, did you write this lecture while looking in a mirror and yes. being like, the Antichrist might look like someone who wants to have ultimate surveillance and control over all people. Bitch, that's you. Mm-hmm. That's you. That Peter Thiel's out looking for the Antichrist. It's in a compact in your purse, my friend.
It's him. He is.
What the fuck?
By late 2025, Thiel had been quietly hedging his own geography. He purchased a mansion in Buenos Aires, enrolled his children in school there, and met with Argentine President Javier Milei, finding common ground over their shared disdain for taxes and progressive politics. Thiel gained New Zealand citizenship in 2011 and applied for a Maltese passport in 2022. The man who once wrote of the need to escape politics entirely, to find some undiscovered country beyond the reach of the democratic state, keeps several escape routes open at once.
He's the Javier Milei, I believe, is the guy that gave Elon Musk the chainsaw on stage.
Yeah,
and he describes himself as an anarcho-capitalist and, you know, believes that the government is the problem. And now he's in charge of the government. So he slashed a ton of spending and like deregulated the economy. He's kind of doing similar to what Trump's doing here. And the results are similar insofar as like poverty climbed up, you know, very like another 10 percentage points and stuff like that. So it's like Donald Trump Jr., his little buddy down there. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that Thiel likes him and they get along.
In 2006, Thiel co-founded Dialogue with Oren Hoffman, a Silicon Valley investor and data entrepreneur who also founded Safegraph, a mobile phone location data broker, and LiveRamp, an identity resolution firm that links personal identities to digital behavior for advertisers. Both companies were funded in part by Thiel. Forbes has described Dialogue as
Bilderberg meets Silicon Valley Salon. And Hoffman, Oren Hoffman, is, if you remember from 2022, there was an expose in Motherboard that these companies were the ones that were providing information about who visited abortion clinics and where they went afterwards. So they're not the good guys getting your information, in my opinion. In my opinion, they give device and location-specific information to government agencies for millions of people. So they're kind of, when you kind of go, man, I feel like my phone's following me. Well, somebody's got to build the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And turns out it was Peter's buddy mm-hmm. with his money.
The premise was straightforward, at least on paper. Dialogue brought together influential figures from technology, politics, finance, intelligence, and academia for off-the-record retreats, with discussions intended to remain strictly confidential and participants encouraged to avoid, quote, status signaling. Previous gatherings had been held at the Bacara Resort in California, the Ritz-Carlton Dove Mountain in Arizona, and the San Clemente Palace in Venice, Italy. There are no speakers or panel discussions, only moderated conversation in small groups of 8 to 12 participants.
Yeah, I think their website said, like, it's for leaders to discuss topics. You're very vague.
Did you turn this in the day before the project was due and you couldn't come up with anything else better than that?
Like, we don't want to say, but it's interesting to call it Bilderberg meets Silicon Valley Salon. Peter Thiel is on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, which is where about 130 influential people meet for 3 days off the record. Again, no press. So it's this idea that it's secret. No binding decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
But
you've got the same 130 to 220 type people mm-hmm. meeting in these off the record, I'm just going to say retreats, because they're in mm-hmm. these beautiful places. I mean, they're all for billionaires, so of course they are. Mm-hmm. And they get to just, you know, run wild, do whatever they do, bohemian grove it up in some of the mm-hmm. prettiest places around the world, rub elbows, make deals. That, you know, mm-hmm. they're not deals. They are deals.
Yeah, they'll say, no, we don't make any deals. It's just off the record. It's like, well, yeah, but if you come to all the terms and you leave, and then the next time you meet, you're like, hello, I'm seeing you for the first time since the retreat. Mm-hmm. You're like, what terms should we come up with for our deal? They're like, I don't know. How about these? And they're like, done. And you're like, well, yeah, of course you didn't do the deal at the conference. You did it at a conference room later. But like, it's still, I think they like that. Not only where it's separate. It's their own inner group, their own special list you have to be on. And if you can't make the list, then you're nobody. And I think sometimes like Davos is the one in Switzerland, and like CNBC, like, will be there and interview people like Warren Buffett will be there or like Jamie Dimon. But there's a ton of people on that list who you don't see them because they come in by a helicopter and they go straight into whatever room and nobody ever sees them except the servants.
And we probably don't even know their names. And there are some of the most rich and powerful people on the planet that are making the decisions that affect all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, too, at these retreats, I mean, as we've seen, all these people love to do heinous things together and have disgusting parties and stuff. So all that's going on. Maybe you introduce someone you're trying to get a deal with to someone. Now you've got blackmail on them. And you're like, well, do you want to deal that deal or not? Because remember at Davos when I introduced you to that 12-year-old and I've got video of it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and they have their own chalets at these places. So yeah, it's like there's even at the inner circle of a place like this, there's an even smaller inner circle. Where it's like, well, you were at Davos, but were you at Barry's chalet party at Davos?
Barry goes like, hard.
Barry's a nasty motherfucker.
Oh my God. Barry's chalet party is next level.
Come on down to Barry's chalet where you check in, but you won't check out. No, seriously, I think there are stuff like that where we're never even going to get a leak on that. Maybe the other half of the Epstein files someday.
Right.
But like, as of now, like even what we're about to talk about this leak, this is some information, but it's only like a cursory surface level of information.
That's what pisses me off about all of this is, and I told you earlier, like, I don't think we'll ever really know the whole truth. You know, I mean, bits and pieces might be disclosed here and there, but none of us are like in the room where it happens. And we're so far removed from the degrees of people it would take to get there, which I find personally to be a feather in my cap. I don't want to be that close with any of these people. But it does suck that like all of these people are making the decisions that affect all of us and we have no say in it. We don't even know who most of them are. And they're all in it for their own gain. So they don't ever consider us unless it's like, well, make them more unhappy so they'll buy more things so then we make more money. Everything, nothing is in the best interest of us.
No, and I think you're right. And especially it's dangerous when people were really good at one thing, like inventing a payment app. Good for you, Peter Thiel and your friends. You're very smart. PayPal's a good idea and you did good, buddy. And then they think, I'm a genius that can do anything and I should be in charge of everything. I should be in charge of all the politics. And you're like, oh no, I'm sorry. You were actually really good at one thing. And then that one thing was so good, you got a bunch of money and you're conflating money with
intelligence,
skills and everything else. Yeah. And you're not. Yes. And it's like, that's why Elon Musk, who thinks he's a trillionaire, I'm like, he fell ass backwards into a lot of that.
Oh yeah.
He is not a genius. The same with Peter Thiel. They are not genii. They think that they are. And they read a bunch of shit and they parrot it back because it makes their little hearts feel good, a flutter that they're like, the Nazi said this and I'll repeat it. But it's like, you don't have any business telling us how to run the world because you said, I no longer believe that freedom and democracy are compatible. Bitch, you're not even living in my world. You're not living my day to day.
Not even call close.
Call me when you've worked on a car engine. Call me when you have run the fucking restock at a retail store before Black Friday. Call me whenever you have dealt with a fucking line of people out the door at a Starbucks because all these bitches are trying to get their red cups or whatever.
Right?
And people are going ape shit. You couldn't handle it, motherfucker.
No.
You couldn't handle it.
It's 2 a.m. and you got to kick a bunch of drunk people out of a bar and they won't leave. And so they get into a fight and then you got to mop their vomit up off the floor.
Exactly. Call me whenever you're a surgeon and you've got to actually go and do surgery for someone or a therapist that actually has to unwind someone's like extreme trauma. These are all high skill level positions. This motherfucker invented PayPal and then was like, what if we just spied on everyone forever? Those were your two good ideas. And now we're putting them in charge of stuff. No.
No.
Fuck you, Peter Thiel.
No.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
No.
I need to get t-shirts.
You got
to
get through me, brother.
Fuck you, Peter Thiel.
Fuck you, Peter Thiel, you bitch.
For nearly two decades, Dialog operated with almost no public footprint. Its website was not publicly accessible. No membership list was ever disclosed. And the organization attracted almost no press coverage. The first crack came in 2022 when a statistician published a mocking blog post after receiving an unsolicited invitation. Screenshots of the email revealed a $16,846 registration fee that was knocked down 70% after he used a discount code included in the same invitation. The post circulated briefly and was largely forgotten.
We love that when rich people are like, is there a coupon?
What in the Bed Bath & Beyond is this about? Here, you, and I don't, that number is so weirdly specific. It probably means something demonic. 16,840. Right. I mean, how did he come up with that? He's got some stupid reason. Knocked down after 70%. I would think a discount code is beneath them.
Yeah, it's, or it's again another circle, like an inner circle of like, well, those losers have to pay $16,000.
True, true.
But I sent you the invite with the special code.
And that is such a theme and thread with all of these people. They are so desperate to be the popular kid, to be the one in charge, to have everybody look up to be at the exclusive lunchroom table mm-hmm. that gets to decide who is going to sit with me. It's so embarrassing, and it's so rooted in, honestly, their childhood and how they if they were accepted. And I mean, both Thiel and Musk grew up, were just Nazis, were cool, and you know, their mm-hmm. families are Nazis and they're Nazis mm-hmm. and
their dads did horrible things.
They, I'm not saying they didn't suffer. I'm sure that they did, and that shaped a big part of who they are today. That doesn't mean it's got to be my problem because you're, you know, you didn't get picked for the soccer team when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Now you got to shit on everybody's lives.
Yeah, you're. I think you're right. It's like, well, you didn't want me on your list. Now you don't get to be on my list. Mm-hmm. How about that? Now that I have all the money, every billionaire that exists today gives Francis from Pee Wee's Big Adventure vibes. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump does. So does Elon Musk. And so does Peter Thiel.
100%.
Every billionaire out there is Francis on Pee Wee's Big Adventure in a bathtub too big with him, lonely as fuck, playing with sad ass boats. And the rest of us are Pee Wee just trying to get our fucking bikes back. We just want the world back to how it used to be. And y'all fucked it up. You ruined it. You ruined it because you wanted what we had.
But
you
can never have it. I want the bike.
Exactly, fucking Francis. You can never have it.
God damn, Pee Wee. Long live Pee Wee
Herman. Forever, dude. Long live. Sinisterhood will be right back. Can we talk about the most underrated organ in your body? Your liver. It's doing 500 plus functions every single day. Filtering unwanted elements, supporting digestion, helping with energy. But we never think about it until something's wrong. What if we actually supported it before problems started?
A novel idea. That's where Dose for Your Liver comes in. It's a clinically backed liquid liver supplement. Not a capsule, not a powder, a 2-ounce daily shot that actually tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice. There's zero sugar, zero calories, zero junk. Just daily support for the organ that does the most.
Drink it every day and you can expect less sluggishness, fewer midday crashes, and better support for your metabolism and digestion. And it isn't just marketing. Dose has 2 double-blind placebo-controlled studies backing up its positive impact on liver enzyme levels. Real science, real results.
Ready to give your liver the support it deserves? Head to dosedaily.co/creepy or enter creepy to get 35% off your first subscription. Your body does so much for you. Let's do something for it.
That's dosedaily.co/creepy for 35% off your first month subscription.
Then on June 16th, 2026, a Swiss hacktivist received an anonymous tip and discovered that Dialog's website was misconfigured, publicly displaying private member information within unprotected code. Separately, Wired obtained a full registration list for Dialog's planned August 2026 retreat at Powerscourt Estate outside Dublin. The record showed 222 people signed up to attend, 87 of them first-time attendees, while others having participated since the organization's founding 20 years earlier.
Well, shout out to Maya Arson Crimew, C-R-I-M-E-W, who not only is she responsible for this, but also she's the one that back in a couple years ago got a hold of the U.S. government's no-fly list because it was sitting unsecured on a regional airline's website. Damn. So she and I think her hacktivist groups kind of go around to like loose knot mm-hmm. or like where you could like, you know, they're not like breaking in so much as like going, you sort of just left this behind the dumpster yeah. and we found it. And so what I'm curious about is who sent her the anonymous tip?
Good question. Yeah.
And was it someone from the inside who's like, I'm just going to put this on this website and then send an anonymous tip? Like, because Peter Thiel doesn't make his own websites, you know?
I would
like,
imagine not.
So, and Dialog, the CEO of Dialog doesn't. You're employing somebody. And if you're not paying me $1 billion, I have 1 billion reasons to turn on you and to give your fucking passwords away.
Yeah. Either you're incompetent because they hired somebody incompetent, or you know exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I know who to send this to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I'm going to send this to Maya. Do mm-hmm. it.
According to leaked information, Dialog staff and their artificial intelligence tools create dossiers on every member and potential members and assign them a grade reflecting their desirability to Dialog. Grade C is given to the most famous and influential. A to established members who are less notable, while most people receive a B. The amount a person pays to attend depends on their grade. Lower graded people pay full price, which can exceed $10,000, while higher graded people receive discounts. The dossiers also contained home addresses, private phone numbers, emergency contacts, food allergies, and self-reported political leanings that members had been told would never be shared.
Well, if you're given any information to Peter Thiel, don't be like, it will never be shared with anybody except the whole fucking world. Like, he collects information.
This is hurting my brain because what do you mean C is the best and A is the another thing that Why? He's just like, I'm going to turn it upside down on its head when, I mean, at least in the United States, we're all taught from the beginning, A is the highest grade, then B, then C, D, F. And so why you got to make it all confusing and now C's are the best? What does that even mean?
Yeah, like who thought this? Because at first they said, oh, Josh Brolin, who was Thanos in the Avengers, that he got a C. And I was like, what? But then I was like, oh, C is the best. So I guess it's crazy to me. But
it's just ass backwards for the sake of doing it different, honestly, is what I think.
Yeah, and it's – I feel like the bios that they write, like the former Uber CEO Ryan Graves wrote like, I grew up on a horse farm and climbed Everest. It's just like, I feel like all of these weird little essays you have to write, these weird, like they made them give a list of all of their talents. And one of the people, they said their talent was funhouse construction. Like,
I'm sorry.
First of all, what?
What? Like with weird mirrors and shit and like spiral things you got to run through.
You know, some of them make sense, like backcountry skiing. Urban exploration, which was interesting. Meditative and psychedelic inquiry into the nature of reality. Sign me up for that.
Sure.
As if that's a skill, I think we both have that.
I'll put that on compassion, my resume.
100%. Compassion and existential dread all in one.
I can put that for sure on my resume.
And someone said dinner parties, keeping secrets, and remembering birthdays.
Like I don't have dinner parties much, but the other two, yeah. But that's your like, talent is remembering birthdays? What is good for you.
This guy. You're going to get an A for remembering birthdays because this guy can make me a fun house for my birthday. Right? So you get a C.
And what you're like, was oh, Brolin? A, that means the best, right? No. In Dialog, A is the worst and C is the best. But most people are Bs.
And they're like, but what about if you're a D? And they're like, there's no Ds in Dialog. And you're like, it's at the beginning of the word. And they're like, you know what we mean. I don't, though.
No, literally none of us know what you mean. So I don't know, send out a memo. It is so embarrassing, like you said, to have to write all of these essays. It's akin to having to get into, you know, Ivy League type school with all this shit you got to do, coupled with trying to get into a secret society.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like a dating profile where you want people to like you because you've climbed Mount Everest. What does that say about you? You paid somebody $60,000 to take all your shit up to the top of a mountain covered in trash and bodies.
Okay. You probably left a Sherpa
you
behind.
You get a C.
Yeah, you left him behind, you bastards. No, you're right. It is a strange, again, it's the idea of like, we're a circle and you have to do these little dances, mm-hmm. like jump to get in my circle. You have to jump for me. And it's as soon as you put the fucking nerd in charge, they're like, I'm going to get my revenge. Now you have to prove you're good enough to hang out with me.
Yeah.
Because no one wanted me to sit at their table. Now, if you want to get at my table, you have to write, what do you think will happen in the future? And which people were like, AI will take over, societal degeneration will accelerate, like domestic terrorism will target data centers. Agreed. You know, there will be AI lawyers as public mm-hmm. defenders, mm-hmm. like some of these ideas. So it's like
people are already using AI for shit like that.
Constantly. I saw that a very famous Supreme Court attorney who has argued before the Supreme Court successfully multiple times has been working with an app called Harvey that it's supposed to be a Supreme Court minded app that's or AI where it's only trained on all oral arguments that have ever been recorded before the Supreme Court and all justices' questions and all current sitting justices, everything they've ever written ever. So all their books, all of their opinions, and then you put it into Harvey. And then he explained that a case that has now been decided, but before it had been decided, he asked Harvey, like the tariff case, like, who do you think's gonna say what? And he said, pretty spot on. It guessed in advance what each of the different, which I mean, with the current Supreme Court's just like whatever's worse for people and great for corporations, as was seen today. So it'll be interesting to see where those apps go in mm-hmm. the future. Goddamn.
Yeah, it's I don't disagree with where's the future headed as far as what they wrote mm-hmm. there. And you got 220 people writing all of that, and all 220 are like, but I'm okay because I have a bunker that I'm going to abscond to under the cover of night when all mm-hmm. of you peons are going to be, you know, taken over by these robots.
That's what they seem to think is going to happen. They're ready to dunk in, mm-hmm. dunk in the bunk.
Dunk in the bunk, baby. Dialog also runs a matchmaking service. So embarrassing.
Dude.
The event sign-up form asked registrants whether they were
looking for love.
And included options for
single man, single woman, or other.
The separate dating portal, dating.dialog.org, promises
meaningful connections for exceptional people.
About 10% of attendees opt in.
So the pool is like 20 people.
Yeah, yeah. Also .org. What?
Come on.
What do you mean .org?
They're like, we're taking donations for our... But this made me my eyebrows raise because... What better way, if you were Peter Thiel and you have, we'll talk about perhaps in a future episode, connections to the CIA, pretty close. We'll talk about later in this episode, pretty close connections to the CIA, intelligence circles and stuff. And you're trying to have control over this person who makes decisions that would benefit your business, getting them to date a person that you like and you have influence on would be very beneficial. And you're like, this old loser will date this hot girl and be like, you're both exceptional. I, Peter Thiel, and my friends are the one that invited you to this mm-hmm. party. I wouldn't have invited you if you weren't exceptional. Of course, this hot girl likes you. She's exceptional. Hey, hot girl, why don't you give me all the information? Get this old man too. You know what I mean? At some point,
hey,
it's
hot
like
girl who
obvious.
Works for, I don't know, some foreign adversary's intelligence agency. Can you get mm-hmm. all of that old man's passwords so we can hack mm-hmm. into all of his shit?
Yeah, get all his data or get him to decide this way, to vote this way, to mm-hmm. decide a rule this way. So that the matchmaking is not incidental in my opinion. And it's not like a meaningful way. I'm like, you again, if these are all exceptional people, you don't know you're walking into a fucking honey trap.
Yeah. No. I think some of them are just so out of touch with reality and think they're so untouchable that it really doesn't occur to them that something that happens to normies could happen to them. They're
like,
too
dog,
smart.
You're gonna get scammed.
They could never be scammed with, you know, a honeypot. You can and you do and you are. Currently.
And it's like, I'm like, any number of you might go and to Western Union and send $1,000 to the IRS if they could get you on the phone, and they can't. And because they can't, this is how you scam people like this is you have to infiltrate their circles. Ask Jeffrey Epstein how easy it is to eventually, all you have to do is have something you want to dangle over their head. So if you're Peter Thiel, you got plenty to dangle with that money, baby. And so that's what I think is happening here with that dating.
Six members of the so-called PayPal Mafia. Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google, the man who ran the company during its decade of becoming enormous. Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn, early Facebook investor, and one of the most connected people in Silicon Valley. Chamath Palihapitiya, venture capitalist, former Facebook executive, and co-host of the All In podcast, where he has said publicly that Silicon Valley's real goal is to make governments irrelevant. Grover Norquist, the anti-tax activist and Republican strategist who famously said he wanted to shrink government to the size where he could drown it in a bathtub. Norquist has had a signed pledge from virtually every Republican in Congress not to raise taxes for the better part of three decades.
Grover Norquist was mentioned in the book Don't Think of an Elephant by George Lakoff as being a strategist in the 2000s where he would have these Wednesday phone calls and right-wing commentators would call him and he'd be like, hey, we're not going to call it global warming anymore. We're going to call it climate change, or we're not going to call it, you know, pro this anymore. We're going to call it this instead. Like very all the messaging. But this is a kind of a who's who of like folks that like to email Jeffrey Epstein. This whole list, Sergey Brin Eric Schmidt, Sergey Brin were in contact with Ghislaine, Reid Hoffman. A lot of contacts. Old Jeffrey.
Real evil.
I think Chamath,
evil players.
Not so much. Yeah, they were, I believe they were listed as like attendees at a prior dialogue, but not directly emailing with them. But like, they're the type of people that like Epstein's aware of.
Yeah.
You know, certainly.
You're only as good as the company you keep. So perhaps you're not like one-on-one directly communicating with them, but if you're in the same circles and at the same meetings and stuff, in my opinion, you're still part of the problem.
No, certainly. And like, I think Reid Hoffman, in my opinion, hasn't sufficiently answered what he meant by, you know, a Christmas Eve email to Jeffrey Epstein being like, oh, tell me about the ice cream for the girls on the island, or we're going to strike your funny bone on the island. Like weird phrases that, yeah. I'm like, y'all too close. You're too close, Reid Hoffman. You're too close with your LinkedIn, with your weird ass website. LinkedIn is weird. It's its own place.
And
it's
your so weird bizarre. Ass. Jargon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like billionaire jargon makes me have the ick. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like somebody on Love Island. It's just
try too
it's
hard.
It's such a try hard. And it's also unsettling. It's like auditory uncanny valley.
Yeah. No, it does. It feels like performative. And like anytime I've seen an interview with Peter Thiel, I'm like, you prepared a lot for this, and is like, I'm going to come. Almost all of them are like, I'm going to come across like a person.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're not though.
No. You're like, blink.
Because you know what I don't ever say?
Blink, exactly. Breathe.
Like, you know what I say when I start recording the podcast? Not, I'm going to come across as a person. People will think I am human. It's like, I just show up and do the podcast. So
you're a human. We've proved it.
I am human.
While participants framed the meetings as apolitical, the roster included several Trump administration officials and politicians, like current Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, former Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, Army Secretary Dan Driscoll, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, Saudi Ambassador to the United States Rima Al-Saad, EU Vice President Kaya Kallas, former Prime Minister of Pakistan Shahid Khaqan Abbasi, Council on Foreign Relations President Emeritus Richard Haass, who ran the CFR for 20 years, Leonard Leo, the architect of the conservative legal movement widely credited with reshaping the United States Supreme Court, Jared Kushner, real estate developer, envoy to the Middle East, and the president's son-in-law, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from New Jersey, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, General Alexis Greenquich, NATO's Supreme Allied Commander Europe, the single most senior American military officer on the continent, who, according to the leaked records, had been attending dialogue gatherings since 2021.
Yeah, this list is pretty damning, especially even like names like Leonard Leo that most people don't know. He's pretty much responsible for a big chunk of the justices on the Supreme Court. I think 6 of the 9 current justices he advised on. He's from the co-founder of the Federalist Society. And I believe he created or he was put in charge of this large financial trust that does political donations. And his kind of idea his arrangement with Jenny Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas. I believe he paid her like, I think like 80 grand or had her paid 80 grand through, I think it was, man, what was her name? Oh, Kellyanne Conway's husband's were. She owned the network. Anyway, all that to say, all these people are just trading money around and favors. And, you know, again, to go like, well, it's not political. Fuck you.
It is only political, some would say.
Do not piss on my leg and tell me it's mm-mm. raining, my friend. Mm-mm. Like, it's crazy to me to be like, oh, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and Scott Bessent and Larry Summers, by the way, speaking of friends of Epstein's, FOE, Larry Summers all up in the memes. So it's like all these folks that make decisions or had made decisions or know the decision makers are all getting they're all deciding with each other mm-hmm. in secret.
And then you've got people who, I don't want to say I called it, but the second he started that filibuster, I was like, there's something about this that isn't ringing genuine. This seems very mm-hmm. performative. I just don't buy it. I never got a good feeling from him. And look who's in this, who's in these leaked lists. Cory Booker, the Democrat from New Jersey, a Democrat from New Jersey, a blue place. He's just as bought off as anybody else.
It sucks, and I'll give a lot of credit to the I've Had It podcast and Jennifer mm-hmm. Welch for asking him directly about his the campaign contributions that he accepts and how he was obviously put off by that, because I think he's used to journalists because they go to events like this. You know, if Cory Booker is sitting across from Ezra Klein from the New York Times, who's also on the dialogue list, mm-hmm. they're not having a real conversation. That's not a real interview, because y'all are both, in my opinion, so far beyond having a conflict of interest that you didn't even mention it, and that there's no way you haven't gotten on the same page about stuff, you know, in advance. So we can't trust whether Ezra Klein is interviewing Ted Cruz mm-hmm. or Cory Booker, because mm-hmm. we y'all hanging out together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You feed them questions. You only take, you know, softball type questions. You refuse to answer certain stuff. And they're like, cool. Yeah, we'll do all of that. They are all in bed together, so you can't trust anything any of them says.
That's how I feel. All of them. We'll talk about some specifics here. But yeah, I saw people kind of going, this list isn't a big deal. And it's like, it is, though.
Yeah.
I think it is, because when you start tracing back who did what when and what decisions they made when, and then you find out they're friends with people that those decisions impacted, you're like, I'm not an idiot.
No.
stop. Again, don't piss on my leg at all, but definitely don't tell me it's raining.
Please don't do it, period. But it's such a convenient way for them all to launder money, trade favors, hide money. Mm-hmm. It's, mm-hmm. I mean,
invest in each other's companies, give each other board seats. Yeah. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Good hair days do more than we give them credit for. When your hair feels healthy, you show up differently. You're more confident, more relaxed, and you're not constantly checking mirrors or adjusting your hair. Your hair becomes one less thing competing for your attention throughout the day. Nutrafol supports hair health from within, working overtime to deliver results you can see and feel. So your hair becomes something you enjoy, not something you stress about.
Yeah, when you got a ton of shedding or something like that, you just don't look and feel your best. And it can be from any number of factors. So the fact that Nutrafol goes in and addresses it, that's from within. That's where you got to start with any good change.
Absolutely.
It starts from within. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand. And it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body, since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
The most glaring controversy involves who is sitting next to whom and what that proximity is worth when nobody's watching. You called him Oren?
Yeah.
Oren Hoffman is Dialog's chairman and co-founder. He is also the founder of Safegraph, a location data broker, and LiveRamp, an identity resolution firm. If you've never heard of either company, that's somewhat by design. They are two of the most consequential players in the consumer data economy. Safegraph tracks where people go. LiveRamp figures out who they are. Together, they provide a significant piece of the data surveillance infrastructure that knows your movements and connects them to your identity. Well, this is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, his company is the one that was tracking who went to an abortion clinic and where they went afterwards, where they went before, stuff like that, where you don't realize what can be intuited about you from merely your location. And we have seen an erosion of the Fourth Amendment where courts have said, well, you know, big bundles of location data isn't necessarily something private, like you just going to 7-Eleven. And if there was a robbery at that 7-Eleven and they pull everybody whose phone went to that 7-Eleven, you have these commercial data brokers that now we've seen the FBI going, yeah, we buy that info. It's great. Mm-hmm. So we don't have privacy that says they can't collect it, so they collect it. And then we don't have laws that say the FBI can't just buy it, so then they just buy it. Yeah. And then they go, we didn't do anything illegal. There's no rules against it. Y'all didn't say it was illegal. It's like, most of the senators that make the decisions are here with you.
Yeah.
Not most of them, but some key ones, certainly.
Who influence the vote. It's a police state. I would imagine with ICE and everything going on, this is another way for people to be tracked.
Oh, certainly. I mean, they said, I believe Palantir got $900 million in ICE contracts. And
that's,
I mean,
crazy.
I think they got $41 million for ICE and then more for the Pentagon drone project, Maven, Falcon, Immigration OS. They have Titan, which is the Army. I mean, they've got all these projects that all are, they hinge on data. And so, of course, Palantir itself is collecting data. And then Peter Thiel, of course, is invested in the other companies that are harvesting and analyzing the data.
And when there's that much money to give anybody for anything, how can anyone on this planet live in poverty?
Yeah, yeah. There's that much money and this much. You can see. You can. There's flock cameras now. And not only that, like Palantir and Maven and all that, they create these cross databases where you can access any camera in the whole country or whatever. It's like, cool, go look at one in down under bridges, you know, in downtown Dallas or whatever. Go look around. Then go help those people. You know, don't just stare at them through your computer. But it's sick.
They don't want to. They want those people eliminated. And they only want the people that are just like them to populate the earth.
Yeah. No, that's accurate.
Hoffman appears in the Dialog directory alongside Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, whose department writes the rules on financial data, and Senator Ted Cruz, who chairs the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. This committee oversees the Federal Trade Commission and its authority over data privacy. This means that the man who profits from selling your financial and location data is in a secret society with the senator and Treasury Secretary who decide whether that's legal.
Yeah, when you think about it, you need to lock up both, lock down in your their support. You have to get senators, you have to get rulemakers, and the Treasury Secretary is going to be your rulemaker, the lawmaker is going to be the senator. And when we go, well, why aren't there rules against all my data getting scraped? I don't know, maybe because this guy and Ted Cruz are sucking each other off at some fucking Ritz-Carlton I don't know about.
No, that's exactly what it is. Jared Kushner and Democrat Cory Booker being on the same list surprised some people, but the two actually have a documented working relationship that predates Dialog entirely. Charles Kushner, Jared's father and convicted but pardoned criminal, helped fund Booker's first run for mayor of Newark in 2002. In May 2025, Booker was the only Democrat to vote to confirm Charles Kushner as U.S. ambassador to France, 8 weeks after delivering a record 25-hour Senate floor speech attacking the Trump administration. Booker defended the vote by citing the First Step Act. Booker defended the vote by citing the First Step Act, a 2018 bipartisan criminal justice reform bill that he helped work on with the Kushner's help.
And why do you think Charles Kushner worked on a fucking reform bill so that he could get a pardon and then he could get voted to be an ambassador? You fucking tool, idiot, Cory Booker. You fell directly into their plan the whole time.
Yeah. And they are laughing behind your back.
Yes,
CB.
You dipshit. You fucking dipshit. You used your little Gmail to sign up, so you didn't use your .gov so that we all couldn't see it. But I think shit like this, Cory Booker wants to roll around. And I think that's why all politics in general feels false right now. And especially in that same billionaire way of you want to say one thing and then you do the other. So Cory Booker's like, I'm here for the working class people. Bitch, no, you're not. You're there for this fucking billionaire guy who did crimes. And then he wants your fucking help to get him pardoned.
Yeah.
You dumbass. But you're right. He spends all that time in a diaper shitting himself for freedom or whatever. And then wants to turn around 8 weeks later and be the only Democrat to vote for fucking Ivanka's fucking father-in-law to be an ambassador. Cory Booker, you dumb bitch.
It's so disappointing. I can't say I'm entirely surprised. He's just giving me bad vibes. As you said, though, it does make everyone feel this sense of nothing is stable in politics. Mm-hmm. Even people that I thought were on my side, that I probably voted for, are entrenched in all of this just secret madness bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and his spokesperson said, like, when he was the mayor, he went to a lot of conferences and speaking engagements. Maybe this was among them. My dude.
Come on.
Everybody, the governor of Maryland also was like, oh, this was like 15 years ago I was invited to speak and I would never hang out with Peter Thiel. All these folks coming out, the governor of Colorado the same way was like, I don't recall ever. The thing is you didn't do enough due diligence. Just come out. Sophia Bush was like, I didn't know who this was. I'm sorry, you guys. I did not look into this.
I saw it was at a resort in Ireland and I was like, let's go.
She's like, I went, my bad. And maybe she didn't know, but I think she did because I think she's got, I don't know, maybe. There's photos of her with folks like Scooter Braun's brother, and Scooter Braun is also a member of this. So you start to get more people into the music industry, people in the acting industry, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. We're getting connections around where it does start to stink of a new world order.
Yeah, for sure.
They're all trying to decide for us.
And who gets to sit at the table, and that's the most popular in all industries that are also aligned with our interests.
Yep. Yep.
It's also just flabbergasting that Cory Booker, knowing what you know, there is no way, Cory Booker, that you can look me in the eye and say, you don't think all these people are racist fucks. And then you're willing to work with them. As a black man, as a Democrat, you're like, yeah, I'm going to take all this money and just completely flip because I have no backbone.
Yeah, well, and I think Cory is friends with Jared Kushner from way back. Like, they've known one another since before. Like I said, because Charles Kushner, the dad, is helped fund Cory's mayoral race. And so that's something that you just got to be like, listen, okay, I'm friends with Donald Trump's son-in-law and we're close. And then you can let voters decide. But you can't be like, I'm a man for the working class who likes to hang out with Ivanka Trump and we're friends. Like, no. Like, that, it's the hypocrisy that sucks about it. And like you said, basically, this whole time we've been sold this one image of Cory Booker, which not everybody was buying, but that enough people bought it that he still has some sort of a career. How long will it last after this? I don't know. But it's, it's just wild to me that he has had this friendship so long and has received thousands and thousands of dollars from not just Jared Kushner, from Ivanka, from Jared's mom. Like, the Kushner family has given him like, you know, $250,000. I think he went to their wedding as well. Like, so you're not, this isn't a passing bud. Like, you guys are very good friends. And then he's like, well, Charles Kushner, he just wanted to redeem himself after those crimes. Again, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. And all of this is in Trump's very inner circle. So there's no way you can be like, I disagree with Trump. However, besties with his son-in-law. Like, you know what? I'm not going to be besties with you and think that your mother is like an evil person who controls the world.
The only person I'm willing to do that is Elon Musk's daughter.
Yes, yes.
Vivian Jenna Wilson is the only person who's the child of, or like Aaron Parnas, where you're like, listen, yes, this was my parent. Please let me. But like Jared is like actively in the administration. He's like actively doing deals. He's actively trying to take over Albania. Mm-hmm. He's actively like assisting with the genocide in Gaza. So it's crazy to me that Cory Booker's like hanging his whole relationship with them on like Charles Kushner, a good man who we've talked with you all about before. Should you forget? He's the one that hired a sex worker to blackmail his own like sister by having the husband. Like he's fucked up. It's not like he just accidentally forgot to pay his taxes.
No.
So why are you hitching your cart to this very disgusting horse?
Yeah, I mean,
money. Turns out money. It was money and power and influence.
I think
money
are the three holy trinities that these all these assholes care about.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those where you're like, I'd expect this from Ted Cruz.
The arrangement repeats throughout the guest list. Palantir co-founder Joe Lonsdale is in attendance. His company's software runs case management for U.S. immigration and customs enforcement and data fusion for the Pentagon and the intelligence community. Since Trump took office, Palantir has collected more than $900 million in federal contracts for an immigrant database, an AI drone targeting program, a battlefield targeting system for the Army, and more. Lonsdale will be rubbing elbows with Army Secretary Dan Driscoll and Representative Jim Himes, the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee that oversees the agencies Palantir contracts with.
It's probably just a coincidence, and they're talking about the weather.
There's so much conflict of interest here that it's, I mean, if you were to try and red string this on mm-hmm. a poster board, it would...
It's a ball of yarn.
Dude, it's all so intertwined, and it's all the same people just repeated through... If it's not them, then it's their son, and then it's their mm-hmm. son. I mean, it's just the lack of scruples and just evilness is passed down. I mean, it's what their family's kind of built on. A lot of these people, that's how they grew up. That's how they made their money. So they're not going to change that now.
Mm-mm, no. And I think exposure to that grossness, that lack of moral character, the ethical rot that you see mm-hmm. in a lot of these people, you can't go to retreats with them. You can't go to their weddings. You can't spend time with them and not have some of it rub off yeah. on you. It's ridiculous to me to look me in my face and be like, I care deeply about the working class, when you're like, literally Peter Thiel said that he no longer believes freedom and democracy are compatible. So you're assisting people mm-hmm. and working with people who literally have said they would like to eradicate certain humans. Yeah. So
it's like going to Epstein's, like, well, we were just going for lunch. Yes, I sent an email saying all the children that would be with us and their ages were included, but we were just going for lunch on his island.
Yeah. Howard Lutnick. Like, why is everyone getting on me about that? You're like, because you knew what was going yeah. on. Like, you knew who he was. Peter Thiel hasn't hidden who he was. It's not like everybody goes, oh, this was like this benevolent guy. And then we all figured out he was a piece of shit. And we'd been going to his conference. He's been a piece of shit since the jump. Yeah.
No, he grew up a piece of shit. So
for sure. Never changed. The guy that went to a Nazi school is not a nice guy.
Shocking.
Good God.
Again and again, the executives who profit from these systems and the officials who are supposed to regulate or oversee those systems have been gathering together annually, off the record, in private, for nearly 20 years. Wired also reported that none of the 222 registrants used a government email address to sign up. Every single person used a personal or corporate account instead, perhaps in an effort to conceal their attendance. Under federal open records law, correspondence sent to or from an official government account can be subject to public disclosure requests. Correspondence sent to a personal Gmail cannot.
Unless it's Epstein's, and then we only get half of it. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I think they were on purpose trying to
for sure.
obfuscate, yeah, who they were and their contact info. But this is like a wet dream if you're like trying to get people's contact info, because they also said their registration keys got leaked as well, which Wired did not exposed, but it's like their private access tokens, which are essentially like their passwords. So now we have personal emails for very important people, the passwords that they use. And just look at what happened with the fucking Pizzagate guy, mm-hmm. Podesta, just accidentally clicking something wrong. And all those got any number of these people, the fucking Army General Secretary, whatever, of NATO. You can't get in that man's Gmail. And plus, now you have his Gmail. You go to Pornhub, figure out what he's into. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I think maybe they're so smart that they don't reuse usernames, but not all 222 of them.
No.
So
it'd be a real shame if somebody did all the stuff you're just talking about.
It'd be a real shame if we found out what all the freak shit they were into.
It'd be a real shame if somebody hacked into all of these people's personal email accounts, because that's where the real juicy stuff is.
I think so. Confirming stuff and not speaking in a way that they don't normally speak in public. Although, I'll just say, someone did say, having been, I can't remember who it was that had been, it was a journalist who had been around billionaires, and they go, like, honestly, they do as crazy, the crazy shit they tweet about, that's the crazy shit they talk about. Like, mm-hmm. they really do believe that. Like, they're obsessed with it. And so they're just talking about it all the time.
The 2026 retreat is scheduled for August 12th through 16th at a private estate outside Dublin. The leaked documents include the session agenda, and it is a fascinating glimpse into what is on the mind of world leaders. Confirmed topics echo the kind of agenda you'd expect to find at Davos or Bilderberg, including battlefield technology, artificial intelligence, Iran, and the surveillance industry. The agenda also includes sessions titled
Navigating World War III. Bring back nuclear. Money. Does it buy happiness?
Longevity and anti-aging. And a panel called
How's Your Sex Life?
The session titled
Build a Cult
is moderated by the founder of the Christian networking site, Pray.com, while
Build a Party
will be run by a former White House national security official.
Here's the thing. Are they being cheeky and being extra, being like, how to build a cult? Yeah. But also, I think they, A, like being that way and like getting people online, you know, riled up. But B, I think they also do fuck shit in plain sight. Uh-huh. Jeffrey Epstein. So
for sure.
I don't think the Christian networking site, Pray.com, they didn't say build a successful website. They said build a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. And it might be cheeky, because among them they're like, because it is a cult, and those people are so stupid they don't even realize that that's what they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are doing it out loud, and they think it's funny. And I also want to know who's hosting the Build a Bear party.
Yeah, we have Build a Cult, Build a Party. Where's the bear? And they're like, it's a physiological bear. We're stitching him together like Frankenstein, and we're going to reanimate the corpse. We have the arms of a grizzly, the head of a polar bear, the body of a panda, and the legs of the smallest bear you've ever seen. It's crazy. It can barely stand up. You're going to come? And you're like, I was going to go to How's Your Sex Life, but yeah. I guess that does sound
have
more
you seen
fun.
Midsommar? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the ending. It's just a
Stop
bear.
Asking questions. Don't ask questions. It's fine. But the question, not, but to me, navigating World War III indicates that it will be here, yeah. And it is here perhaps. And also, bring back nuclear for what reason? Like power or explosions?
I also want to know, how's your sex life? Like, is that just something? And I think, yes, I just answered my own question. That is a, for most of us, a session that you would go to if you were attending like a wellness week about intimacy, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. a business retreat, but among these sick fucks, how's your sex life really is like at the top of the mind. And like we've said with Epstein, all the Kundalini stuff, and you have to orgasm a certain amount of times per day because that gives you power. And that's the kind of shit they're talking about. And also, none of them find it a problem to rape children.
Well, I don't know. Everybody on the list
if
is raping kids.
If you are with rubbing elbows with these people,
then you don't
on
have a
some
problem
level,
with it.
You don't have a yeah. problem with it. I'm not saying you do it, Cory Booker, yeah. but if you were taking money from and hanging out with people that you know do, you're no better than the company you keep.
Yeah, I feel like out of this whole list, the number of perverts and sex predators and pedophiles, it's not zero.
No,
it's not zero. I don't know what percentage it is, but it's not zero. But I do think you're right. Like the idea of bringing your sex life out in the open to them is probably a bit of a thrilling thing. They're mm-hmm. also very obsessed with longevity and anti-aging. So if like tantra energy or getting energy through, it's they strike me as the type of place that would have had Nicole Daydon do a session
and
been fine with it and not have, you know, thought anything was wrong with it. So that could be what's happening. But also, is it another like cult-like atmosphere where they're trying to get you to reveal off the record things. Mm-hmm. It's off the record. It's off the record. And you're like, we found out that guy's dick doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then now that's something that either, even if it's only 8 to 12 people in the room, that's 8 to 12 people that know something.
Yep. can be used against you.
Yeah. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
From the geopolitical and the intimate, those signed up can expect in-depth interactions. Past attendees who spoke to Axios described the retreats as featuring small, moderated conversations with assigned seats and with sources characterized as
absolute confidentiality,
designed to help participants, in their words,
challenge themselves intellectually and spiritually.
Former General Stanley McChrystal, who attended two dialogue events roughly a decade ago, described it to The Guardian as
a gathering of thoughtful people across the political spectrum where the gathering discussed almost every kind of subject but politics.
He said the confidentiality rule existed simply to encourage candor.
What's that on my leg? Is it? It smells like urine.
That's rain. It's rain.
No, what the fuck, man? Like, it's fine. We don't talk about politics there. Oh, you don't? You know, that's worse, in fact, then. Because then when you're like, I don't believe democracy and freedom can coexist, you're like, I have a question about that.
Yeah. It also,
everybody's so out of touch.
Everything is political. So, I mean, so you're having navigating World War III. You're telling me that's not a political discussion? Bring back nuclear doesn't involve politics? What are you talking? Money? Sex?
Yeah.
Cults, parties. I mean, all of these things are
politically
charged.
Like, it's literally a national security advisor trying to inform you how to make your own party, political party, I'm assuming. But maybe they were just like, they did say somebody could construct fun houses and someone could throw a good dinner party.
Go.
So maybe they really were just giving a
it's how to be the best host you can. Mm-hmm. The hostess with the mostest.
Well, then get Martha Stewart. Who the fuck are these people? Mm-hmm.
When the leak broke, the responses came fast. Actor Josh Brolin's spokesperson told The Hollywood Reporter that Brolin would like to know, in his words,
what the fuck he got himself into.
Actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt posted a 3-paragraph Instagram statement within 48 hours, explaining his attendance and distancing himself from Teal's ideology. Actress and activist Sophia Bush issued a statement on Threads, saying she wished she'd researched the event beforehand. Even General McChrystal responded to The Guardian by email.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's thing was very long, and he was like, you know, if you knew the truth, you wouldn't say this. It's all clickbait. It's not true. He said, people saying I'm part of a secret society, people saying I want to suppress free speech online, people saying I'm a Zionist. It's all untrue and frankly kind of ridiculous, and yet it's being taken seriously. What I take seriously is the amount of time Joseph Gordon-Levitt himself, that doesn't have anything to do with the leak, that predates any of this stuff, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has taken time to go to Congress and fight against Section 230. With his wife, who sat on the board of OpenAI. He is very connected in the tech industry. So for Mr. like, I'm just an actor with ideas to come out and try to say like, what are you all talking about? I'm not trying to do nefarious things. Then bitch, why are you up in front of Congress with a motion trying to tear down something that protects free speech online under the guise of protected children? 500 days of summer. Days are up, brother.
Your days are up. I know. It's a bummer. He's beloved. It's real disappointing when you see people that you've always considered to be a good one involved with stuff like this. It really feels almost personal, like you've had the wool pulled over your eyes. So it kind of stings. You're like, you feel like an idiot that you didn't see the signs, but that's because they intentionally hide all of those from us.
Well, exactly. And that's why I was like, I feel like we've loved Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He had his whole like hit record where he was one of the early days of like encouraging online content creation, of basically being like, you don't have to wait till you're a famous actor like me. You could just like make your own thing. I'll help boost it. And then he went pretty hard in this emotional speech talking about he wants these companies to be in charge of what platforms he wants. Basically, he wants tech companies to be in charge of what is posted on their platform. What current folks are arguing is that will is very backwards. And I believe the ACLU has said that it's like the end of the internet as we know it. It would be very bad. He, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, was joined by parents who their children died by some internet use. One of them was a young man, a 17-year-old, who had been extorted on Meta, like sextortion. Another one was a child, I believe, who had gotten fentanyl poisoning because they had met somebody on Snapchat who had sold them drugs. So it's not that the idea of protecting children online is ridiculous, but the idea of trying to gut Section 230. I mean, policy publication Tech Dirt was like, this is not actually how Section 230 works. He got up there very emotionally arguing something that would really empower big tech and not punish it. So mm-hmm. he brings these people who are victims of big tech and is crying and very emotional. Is like, this is just, oh my gosh, like we've got to change this. And digital rights groups push back. Like a lot of folks warned that repealing Section 230 would disproportionately harm marginalized communities. You know, it's taking away spaces. It would enable mass censorship by these companies. So he's kind of like, oh, well, I didn't really mean it. But it's like, then either don't get involved in shit you don't know enough about or stand on business and be like, yeah, I you know, I said what I said. And it's because my wife's on the board of OpenAI, right? And like, we're related to all these people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As of this recording, Senators Ted Cruz and Cory Booker have issued no statements. Peter Thiel's spokesperson did not respond to any press inquiry. Dialogue's executive director, Rafi Grinberg, did not respond. The organization itself has said nothing.
And I believe it was Wired was like, Rafi Grinberg, who wrote a book called How to Be a Grown-Up, didn't respond to our request for comment. I was like, Wired, you fucking bitch.
Someone like, said that one of the CEOs of Wired is also involved with this, though. Which has created kind of like, okay, y'all are reporting on this, but some of your people are also involved in it.
That well, and that becomes an issue, I think, too, whenever you're like, Wired, is Wired the outlet, the right place for this to be, you know, exposed? Because I think Wired is the one that published the whole thing about creators being in this like chorus program, and it sort of argued the creators that were in the program argued that it misrepresented what the program actually was. But yeah, Nick Thompson was the current CEO of The Atlantic in the directory, but he was listed as former CEO of Wired. So the fact that the article, though, doesn't mention that and that we all had to like Google that on our own and be like, oh, wait, look, mm-hmm. hang on a second. Their former editor-in-chief who ran this place until 2021 was in there. Interesting.
Conveniently but left that part out.
Yes, they did. He now is the CEO of The Atlantic, which gives us some insight into why we saw The Atlantic perhaps publishing like there's nothing on these scientists.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the scientists. Meanwhile, I just saw a thing today about how there was a larger group of folks being targeted by those microwave weapons that similar to like what Amy Eskridge mm-hmm. talked about, that they're now coming forward. So it's like stuff that gets suppressed by these CEOs. Those CEOs are like at these events with people from the army, you know, people from NATO or whatever being like, we can't don't get those stories out, you know, maybe not. But yeah, it is weird Wired.
I think so. I mean, that's how you get money and power and stuff is y'all are all making, you know, closed door deals with each other.
Backroom deals. Yeah, no, I think it is, in my opinion, foolish for Wired not to be like, just a note. I mean, just to be like above board, like
for sure.
The guy that ran our thing until 2021 and no longer works here. Just because he doesn't work here, I mean, it's still like your own names. And it's like being like, I'm not in the Epstein files. Well, he did forward a link to my show. And it's like, you were in the Epstein files and you didn't do anything wrong, but you have to tell us that you were in there.
And it makes it a little less, I won't say credible, but, you know, it's makes me feel icky that they didn't include that. You're like, how, if you're not going to include everything, then what else aren't you including that maybe would implicate your company in some way?
That makes, it does make you wonder what else got left out, mm-hmm. if only that. But yeah, I mean, I think the other, Wired itself, like the information came from the hacker who is a well-known and she's part of a hacktivist group. So I don't doubt that it exists.
For sure.
But some people have been weirded out by the Wired connection. I do think that she also sent it directly to the Hollywood Reporter. So Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Via this leak, we learned there is a secret society founded by one of the most powerful and ideological unusual men in the world that has been quietly meeting for 20 years. Senators, cabinet officials, a NATO supreme commander, foreign ambassadors, actors, writers, and the founders of the country's largest surveillance companies have all been gathering off the record, beyond the reach of public record laws, to decide our fates. But Thiel's connections extend beyond his company and conference, reaching a CIA-affiliated investment firm and a set of emails involving a man whose name you already know. So what do we think?
I just think stuff like this is why we can't just let people who invented one good thing to be in charge of stuff. Like, you're just like, oh my God, the Tupperware was so genius. Like, it keeps my food safe. Mm-hmm. Do you want to also be in charge of like where railroads go and like how security. My kids go to school?
It's like, no. I don't really know much about that, but
it's that white man curse of like, I'm good at one thing, I'm good at everything. Yeah. But that is my wrap up comment, as well as I want to know who the anonymous tipster was that sent it to Maya, because to me that's far more interesting. And I hope that the people that are the, you know, crumb scrapers, plate clearers, and database administrators for all these rich fucks, don't forget how powerful you are. Don't forget how much a tiny grain of sand can fuck up a microchip. Be that grain of sand. Because even if it doesn't take them down, it's one more chip at them, you know, one more notch. And it distracts them and pisses them off, and it makes them address things that they maybe don't want to address. So be the grain of sand. Fuck them.
It's... people in those roles have a lot of power, because these rich fucks just don't even like notice them or consider them, because they're not even people to them. So they don't stop talking about all the stuff when like somebody walks in the room to refill their wine or hand them their third course. All those conversations are still going on. So yeah, you hear something, see something, say something.
You know, and I think one of the big pieces of the Epstein puzzle was all of his assistants. And, you know, I think it was maybe a maid had taken a lot of photos with like, here's the maid with Bill Gates. Here's the maid with Bill Clinton. Here's the, and it was just because they happened to have these pictures and then they put them up on the internet. So it's like sometimes a little leak like that can confirm that somebody was there. Yeah. If they say, I wasn't there on that date. Oh, really? You're wearing the same shirt or whatever. So
you do know this person.
Yeah,
Prince Andrew, formerly Prince Andrew, Virginia Giuffre. We all know that picture now was completely real, and they all tried to say it wasn't. And that's kind of their philosophy when it comes to everything, is lie, deny, deny, deny. Everyone that needs to know is in this room, and everyone outside of this room, we don't really give a shit about. So if you're in this room, then... you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to be very powerful.
Yeah. It's how they can say things like, well, I think AI is going to kill a lot of people and destroy things, but it'll really make the world a better place and we'll make a lot of money in the meantime. And you're like, that was really horrific what you just said so easily and casually. It's like, because you're in rooms with people that it's fine to say those things. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt, bless your heart, as we say in Texas, you can holler and scream. Cory Booker, all these governors, everybody holler and scream. The fact of the matter is, you're responsible for the rooms that you're in. Mm-hmm. And never have I been like, a Nazi invented this, I'll go to this event. To my knowledge, I guess, to be fair. Yeah. But in this case, Peter Thiel's been famous for like more than like when, you know, it's like, I went to this thing 10 years ago. We knew how he was shitty then too. Like, come on.
And these people have teams working for them that can look into what exactly is this invitation for? I mean, you know, Sophia Bush doesn't need to Google who is Peter Thiel. She's got a whole team of people, and somebody should say, hey, by the way, this is what really goes on there. And if they didn't, that's on them. If they did and she still went, then that's on her. And you got to ask yourself, why Sophia Bush?
Right. And I think she's also like an activist and stuff like that. So my question is always like, are they trying to get Hollywood people who have like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who have causes that they're, you know, impassioned about, and take advantage of them, trying to get them in this room to be like, you want people to watch your documentary? Do you want people to, you know, support your nonprofit? You better come to this or whatever. And it's like, well, then you're making a deal with the devil. And when it comes out in public, you got to stand on it and go like, listen, yeah, I went. And good luck, Godspeed. Yeah. Like, and people are going to make whatever decisions, you know, whether they want to see your movie or listen to your music or buy your book or watch your, you know, New York Times opinion segment or whatever. Now that they know this is who you fuck around with, that's on you. You are the steward of your own reputation, and it stands and falls by your own actions. So these were your actions.
Yep.
And, you know, whether you think people misconstrue them, holler and scream, brother. It doesn't matter. I mean, for their sake, the people in Ireland who are set to host this, the Powers Court Estate, has said they've tried to shut it down. They said, we don't want to have it here, but they said, we have a lease with the people, the I guess it's the estate has leased itself to this hotel corp, and the hotel corp is the one that made the deal. And so the estate says, was it up to us? We would not have this estate, but due to a lease we have with the hotel company, we can't cancel it right now. And I think, I don't know if the hotel company has said anything. I'm sure they probably don't care. And who knows, perhaps whoever's in charge of it's going to the party.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good eye-opening reminder that these people are not looking out for the common person. And when you get all of them in a room together, terrible things happen and are decided. And how do we stop that? By breaking up the ability for all of them to be in a room together, by voting them out of office. But then it's like, well, okay, but a Democrat might just decide, yeah, well, I don't know, I'm going to flip. And so it does feel helpless right now. Like, things are spinning out of control, and really, we don't have any firm grasp on it, is how I kind of feel.
I think that this story hopefully reemphasizes the importance and how vital journalism is, how vital and important hackers are, that the information is and should be public. You and I deserve to know what they're talking about when the people who decide where our tax dollars go, $900 million of our tax dollars in 1 year, $900 million went to these folks, and we don't know what they're actually talking about. We know that they come and have little meetings on the record. Bullshit. The deals get done in these rooms. We know it. I know it. You know it. And these motherfuckers are pissing all over us. I don't like water sports. Stop it. And trying to tell us it ain't no thing. So stay woke, as they say, you know, keep your eye on them. And I think getting on them and jumping on them is, and putting them on their back foot is the only way to do it. Because like I said, Cory Booker, Ted Cruz, Peter Thiel, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, first of all, don't ever be on the list with those, buddy. But like, all of these folks didn't want to talk about this week. They wanted to talk about something else. They thought they were going to have a much different week. And the thing about journalism and content and where you choose to put your eyes is you choose to put it on stuff that puts the heat on them. And it, through the power of all of our eyes combined, maybe we can microwave their brains. Ooh, like maybe. The Russian weapons.
Yeah, send this to someone who has been like, I don't know, Peter Thiel and Elon Musk aren't that bad. Send them this episode.
Cool. They're probably fine.
Well, if you like this free episode, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer a free trial where you join for a week at any of the tiers. Check out all the perks, cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, you get so many great things.
Ad free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. Our next one, as you're listening to this, is tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th. You get quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all vote on the content you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries. Our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. We are back this Sunday. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the chat. You get to see the videos before they're edited and have to be put on YouTube. And you get to interact with us. Like, that's the most fun part, is chatting with the chat and interacting and stuff.
On our website, you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists organized by things like cryptids, true crime, trials, and more, and information for Crime Wave at C2027, where we might or might not do a human sacrifice. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood, follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episode, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, I got the thing for you, baby. Book a cameo now. If you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, celebrate a birthday, announce a birth, or congratulate yourself on an accomplishment that you want to share with us, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's thoughtful, it's custom, and you don't got to get out in the heat to get it for you. Go to the website, cameo.com/sinisterhood, and get yours now. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
Find me on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Anika C.
Zach.
Teresa Bledsoe.
Ryan Goach.
Samantha Langdon.
Laura Roberts.
Brittany Hughes.
Alice Jackson.
Marissa Jensen.
Amber Schmidt.
And Laurel H.
Thank you all so much for supporting this show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We love you all. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Wah. Sinisterhood.